Hey, bitch! It's time for the book club.
Warning, spoilers ahead.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Campfire Gaming Podcast book club. Excited to be back for one of these. We are going to be talking through this month's book club, which was Little Nightmares, not Little Nightmares 2. Just to give you guys that one right there. My name is Rich, and I will be your host for this week's episode and this month's book club. With me today, we've got Matt, as always. How's it going, Matt?
Going good. Ready to talk Little Nightmares 2.
Excellent. And fan favorite and longtime listener, Mike, how's it going? Welcome back.
It's going great, Rich. How are you?
Good. Oh, missed you so much. I haven't been able to chat with you on a podcast in a hot minute, man. Like, I've missed chatting with you.
It's been a while. I'm hoping that as we do more and more book clubs, I will hopefully join every single one of them.
Absolutely. And we have no plans on stopping those book clubs. That's for damn sure.
I never learned to read.
So with that said, we will be diving into some heavy spoilers of Little Nightmares. So just forewarned right there. And we encourage everybody to at least participate in some of these book clubs. So if you'd like to participate in the book clubs, join our Discord. You can find it on our website, campfiregamingpodcast.com. We have a link to our Discord right there. We have a whole, you know, section dedicated just for the book clubs. You know, spoilers, of course, are marked with spoiler tags, all that good stuff. And you know, we just have a nice general chit chat of how we feel about the game as we're playing it. So the whole idea is that we want to make sure that we get everybody involved in these book clubs. We want your suggestions. So as we progress through the book clubs, take viewers' feedback, all that good stuff. So before we dive into Little Nightmares, we do want to announce next month, so July of 2022, will be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. That will be the book club for July. You guys excited to play that?
I'm really excited to dig into that. I started playing it. I was like, wait, we started having our discussion of what's July's going to be. And we kind of settled into this, so I stopped. Not that it would hurt anything. I could have played ahead, but, you know, I was just like, I'll wait until we're all playing it together.
This is one of those rare cases where we did not want to take the community feedback because we really wanted to play Turtles.
Yeah, suck it, community. You had awful picks anyways. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, Little Nightmares was a community pick, I think.
Little Nightmares, I think, was.
Was this a Justin pick? I don't remember if he posted that or if that was...
Yeah, I think this was... Originally, this was, I think, a pick for our Halloween episode, but we went with Resident Evil 8 instead. But revisiting that, you know, it was great to, you know... Any time is a good time for a spooky game. It doesn't have to be October. Exactly. Unfortunately, we're only able to do one book club in October, so... A lot of other months to do spooky games. Anyway,
we could quit our jobs and just do like one a week.
Man, I don't even think I could beat half the games that we play in a week.
I'm sure you could.
Fun fact.
I'm good, but I ain't that good.
By this coming Halloween, we're supposed to have Resident Evil DLC, so we could still do a Resident Evil on Halloween.
Keeping up with the trend, I like it.
Yeah, right, we could play Resident Evil Reverse.
Please, God, no.
Different type of scary. Bad scary, not a like I'm horror.
Yeah, that's a hard veto for me. I'm not gonna participate in that one, but go for it. All right. So before we dive into the episode today, be sure to, you know, follow us on our socials at Camp Game Pod if you're following to follow us on Twitter. Again, campfiregamingpodcast.com. You can check out all of our social links there. So, Little Nightmares. This is a very short game.
Yes.
Yeah. So this was a game from, basically it is a, I guess you could call it, it's a It is a 2D, but in a 3D environment, puzzle mm-hmm. platformer is, I guess, how I would describe it. And a horror game.
Was it 2D?
Yeah,
I thought the whole thing was 3D.
It's like played mostly in a 2D plane. There are some segments, I guess, that you kind of do a little bit of 3D walking, but it's not a lot.
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
there was depth to the rooms that you go through, but right. Yeah, it was basically just a side scroller.
Right. Yeah, it was basically. I mean, like I fell a 3D off of stuff.
I fell off of so many things, like not being able to keep the camera angle or like because yeah. You couldn't really adjust the camera angle. I couldn't tell if I like where I was on a pipe or where I was on a bookshelf or whatever. I mean, we can get into the story, but
yeah,
that
that's one of my complaints, too. But yeah,
right. So developed by Tarsier. Is that how you pronounce that? Anybody want to correct me on that one? Studios?
Yes, that's perfect pronunciation.
Thank perfect. You. All right. I thank like you, it. Matt. Resident expert in how to pronounce things right over here.
Yep.
That's so that, like I said, that Pennsylvania like school system really helping out there.
Shout that's out my... to all of our Pennsylvania fans.
Yep.
All right. So diving into it, let's just get right into it. Horror game. Mostly, I think it was like atmospheric horror. Like, I think there were like maybe like one or two places where there was like a jump scare of some kind. But yeah, mm-hmm. for the most part, I think it was atmospheric. It's very like, you know, I think the art direction in this game was actually pretty sick.
Yeah.
And they nailed it.
I like the character design. Like that was kind of.
Yes.
Like the rooms. Like or the places you the levels you walk through to me were not like they weren't like boring, but there wasn't anything to like write home about, in my opinion. Yeah, you went through different areas like a ship, mm-hmm. Kitchen and rooms and things like that. But like what really kind of got me was the character, like I don't know, they were all like deformed and weird, especially that first like you want to call
blind
him a boss
guy or whatever.
Yeah,
the guy with the arms.
Yeah,
he has really long arms. And he always like cracks them and he cracks his neck and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I thought that was nice and creepy. I mean, I thought that the chefs were really like, that's what really kind of sold me on the that art style. It was very like Burton-esque.
Those are my favorite characters in the game, the chefs.
The chefs?
They were so like grotesque but cool at the same time.
Yeah.
I actually got like I'm no expert on it, but I used to watch on and off growing up the Twilight Zone, the old ones.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I got more of a. Did you ever watch the episode where
with the pigs?
I think that was it. Like probably what the same one. Like somebody was getting an operation. And all the doctors had their faces covered, and they were just talking about how this woman was so deformed and ugly, and they were going to fix her, and hopefully this operation would work. And whenever they took her. The bandages and everything off, she's whatever, gorgeous girl, right? You know, but she lived on a planet where there were all these like characters that almost look like these chefs. I thought, yeah, not quite the pig nose, but like that kind of weird deformed face. So for me, I'm like, damn, it's been a while since I watched Twilight Zone, but that kind of reminds me of those whatever that the characters or species was in that episode.
Right. So I mean the only thing that I thought was really kind of goofy is that like the end boss title, I guess her name is the lady. I guess that's just what they refer to her as, was the only one that was kind of like outside of that art of that direction. You know, like she didn't really have a lot of like deformities or anything. She looked like a lamppost with a mask on.
Well, I mean,
I don't think they had deformities. I think it was like just very gluttonous, like really. They had overindulged themselves to a certain size, and that was just all of their, like, no sunlight plus overeating, like, a ton. I think that's what they were more.
Maybe for the chefs, but I mean, like, the first boss in particular, the one with, like, the goofy arms, and he had, like, the crazy. He has, like, the crazy teeth and all that, too, and he was, like, blind, I think.
He kind of looked like that scientist dude from, Nightmare Before Christmas, but with super long arms and blind.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I think all the passenger. Oh, we'll get into the story a bit, but yeah, basically there are guests aboard this. You're on a boat, basically, mm-hmm. is where the entire game takes place, is on this big boat, and all the guests are very deformed. Well, gluttonous, I guess you could say. Yeah,
well nourished.
Didn't look very like they had their flippy floppies with them. So
no, they did not.
I did want to comment with the lady though, like when you get to her, she's wearing, is it a geisha mask? Is that what it is?
Yes.
So she could be deformed or some sort of malnourished or something like that. We just don't see it.
Yeah, that's true. And you do, like, in order to beat the boss, you do have to show her face with that mirror. Mm-hmm. And even that, it cracks the mirror. All the mirrors are broken in in her room.
Mm-hmm.
So very possible that it could be that she has, you know, got something wrong with her face. But overall, I mean, I think the art direction in this game was just really solid. And I think that was probably one of the things that I like most about the game, is that they really sold me on the atmosphere. And I think I made a comment about this in Discord when I was finishing it up. But like just not even just the visual look of it.
Mm-hmm.
But even like the audio, like the ambient audio, you know, even like every footstep that you made, how it like echoes throughout like this very metallic, you know, very rusty, metallic, dingy bottom of a boat kind of look. It worked out so well, and it all blended together so nicely to really sell you on that. This is a horror game feel.
What I really in all honesty, my brain doesn't really recall recognizing or enjoying the soundtrack, but I did enjoy the sound design as you've kind of were describing there. But one thing I really liked that they did is when things started to get a little intense, the I don't know what you call it, the beat would kind of pick up, right? Especially like one, they would throw in like, I think when the blind dude with the long arms, when you're hiding from him and he's swinging his arms around trying to find you because, you know, he heard something but he's blind and didn't see you, they kind of really pump up the audio for your heartbeat, right? And that's kind of really forefront in some of the sound,
right?
You know, because it's an intense situation. Or when you've got that wave of gluttonous large people like flowing at you as you're running away from them, there's a beat that's just kind of pumping, that kind of like urging you, like it's intense. So I did enjoy the sound design from that aspect, but yeah, I can't really.
Was there music in the game?
I don't.
There was. Yeah, oh yeah.
I barely noticed it. Yeah. All the sound effects, like to your point on sound design, I picked up on, you know, the echoing of your feet or the music boxes if you hit one of those, mm-hmm. or, you know, shattering of glass or the slurping, like the eating sounds that they were making. That was super gnarly, I guess. It was really good.
Right. There's I think one track in particular that they played pretty regularly throughout the game, and that was typically when the main character, the main character that you play, his name is Six. So I'll just refer to her as Six from now on. When Six would either get hungry or at the very, very end of the game, there's that sort of like that, na, 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 you know, that sort
of
creepy like child, you know, song in the background. And I think there's a couple of other tracks that play during, like while you're navigating through a lot of those puzzle areas, mm-hmm. when you're in like isolation and all that, it sounds like it's the music is much more dim, but like when you're navigating around the chefs, there is sort of like that, there is music to that. So you have to go back and play it again and listen. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I can tell you just based on what you were saying there with like the music and when the changes and when she gets hungry and things like that, that hunger thing, I don't know why it was in the game. I don't understand it. It didn't really add anything. It just annoyed me when you're hobbling along like crippled trying to find food. I was like, why? What is the point?
So like throwing it out there, there's only 5 levels in the game. And to be honest, the last 2 were very short, like really short. I mean, it's a short game already, but the last 2 were real short. I for one didn't understand a lot of the story. So either I'm really dumb and didn't pick up on little things, but like I really didn't know what was going on outside of Six wakes up and you got to get out of this ship and people are trying to get you. But I did enjoy, even though I didn't get why it was happening, that she was getting hungry and then it got progressively worse. Like when it first starts out, some kid tosses you like a piece of bread or something, right? Mm-hmm. Real food. But by the end, you're like eating the lady. And it's like...
Or that gnome. That poor little gnome.
Yes. Yes.
He's like, I've got a sausage for you. And just pounces. And just starts eating his face.
So as you're getting hungry and you're walking towards this gnome and he's holding a sausage. And I'm like, I'm going to be pissed if she does not just grab and eat him. Like, it was so wrong. But I was like, it's got to be that way. And it happened. I was so happy it happened. But poor little gnome, bro. I don't even know why they were there or what they were. Did anybody kind of understand what was going on in the story? Like, or was I the only one in the dark?
Not really. I felt like I was kind of falling behind on the story as well. Like, I was trying to interpret all of the different things that they were throwing into the game. Mm-hmm. And like, I was having a really hard time figuring out like, okay, why is Six here? What is the lady doing? Why are these people on this boat? What does this boat even mean? Like, what?
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand. And
I feel like it was an odd world kind of situation, right? Like that food that was being pumped into them and the sausages and all that. I feel like that might have been what the kids were all there for. Like, there's a bunch of people in cages. There's gnomes and stuff. I feel like they were all being made into something, and that the geisha lady was kind of like the overseer. In some weird way, shape, or form. You know, the size difference was huge between, like, the mm-hmm. adult things and, like, Six, but, you know, I don't know if they're supposed to be a different species, if they are the same species, but I really felt like it was like a miniature Abe's adventure, right? Like, you're working through, you find out that, well, I'm gonna get eaten, I might as well break out of this cage and make my way, you know, make my way out. Did anybody go through the second kid at all? Because there was two kids you could play as.
Oh, the DLC? I did not play Flotsam and Jetsam or something like that? DLC? I forget what it was called.
DLC included on the Switch version. Like, it was just in it. Mm. I don't know if it was with whatever versions you guys played. But it looked neat, and it looked like... So when I tried to play the second one, I was like, ooh, you could pick a character. I tried to pick the other kid, which is just known as the kid, and it told me that I needed to play as Six first, or it asked me if I wanted to skip ahead because I needed to play Six to understand the kid's story. So I'm wondering if there's like further explanation or like a deeper dive into what it was if you complete his side of the story too.
I mean, I would imagine so.
I would hope so.
Like, the only trying to piece it all together, I can't tell if they were doing was just capturing a lot of those kids and getting ready to serve them to the guests. Because that's what happens when you're running through the gauntlet of guests, right? Is that they're all mm-hmm. just trying to eat you. And if you do get captured by them, all they do is they just stuff you into their mouth.
Yeah.
Did you get caught by the chef at all?
Yeah, it throws you in the soup.
He just throws you right in the pot. Like, he just carries you over the dish. So... That's what fed my idea. You are basically being grown, or you've been captured for this purpose, right?
Mm-hmm. I like Rich's humble brag. No, I didn't get caught. Right?
No. I got killed by the first boss. I got killed by the guests, and I got killed by the lady. But yeah, the chefs, I made it through just fine.
Did either of you get killed by the boot shark?
No.
I didn't either, and I want to go back and see what that was, or I'll probably YouTube it. But there was like a section with the blind guy where you drop into like a sea of boots, and you had to jump suitcase to suitcase, and there was something in there that was chasing you. I wanted to see what it was, but at the same time, I was like, oh, I want to beat this guy. Okay. So I'll have to go back and see what that was.
Right, because like that first boss guy is like. He tries to capture all of these kids, and it looks like he's like, I don't remember what he was doing with them, but he like wraps them up in like this little like blanket thing. It looks like he kind of just like kills them and then wraps them up in like a blanket or something like that. And I don't know if sends them off to the chef, maybe. Yeah. I guess I didn't piece that one together, but I guess that's possibly what could be happening. I like how you finish that boss off, by the way.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one, where you're kind of jumping around like this little room, and he's got his arms trying to reach in and grab you, and then you just yank the cage that's stopping the door from him getting to you, and then it just chops his arms off.
Yep.
So at first, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I was kind of annoyed about this, and then I was like, okay, dodge the arms, the cage is shaking, I should go yank on the cage. This game gave you zero instruction. It was all...
Yeah.
You had to figure it out as you went along, piece by piece. I went up and I grabbed it, I dodged the arms, and it always felt like the action took far too long to actually be plausible. So I sat there thinking I have to do something different because I couldn't time it mm-hmm. right to get it to actually snap without just being grabbed. I was like, well, this Damn. Is dumb.
Yeah, no, that was when I figured out what to do. With the first time with that, my timing was off, so he ended up grabbing me, right? I jumped down there too, I was like, oh, I gotta go jump down there and grab that, but again, it's all about timing, right, with the movements of his arms, and I jumped down there, I was like, I'll just pull it out, and as I pull it out, he grabs me. So after that, I kind of knew what to do, but yeah, no, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing when games don't tell you what to do, but some points, I mean, heck, even right away, I'm like, okay, I got to open this little door. Literally when you start, you walk to the end of the first little room and there's that panel thing that you open up. And I'm like, I'm trying all the buttons. Well, he's not grabbing anything. And then I forget how I stumbled across it, where it was whatever it was, trigger, or I don't remember what it is to grab. But I was right. Well, that's a little frustrating. They could have hinted at something there right away. Hey, this is a grab button. But but I think part of the reason why initially I missed it was, to your point, that kind of, sometimes certain actions seem to, I don't know, the it wasn't always immediate. It didn't feel like there wasn't that right. I don't want to say it was delayed. You press a jump button and it's desynced or something. And we're not. Playing
I think
Halo
it had to
here,
do with,
right? but
I think it had to do with positioning. If you weren't in the correct spot to do it, it wouldn't do it. And there were extra steps to things like turning on the TV. Or pushing an elevator button before yes. you found out you could throw anything. You had to not only hold the action, but then you had to move your character with the action. But sometimes you didn't need to do that depending mm-hmm. on what the thing was. It just wasn't consistent in some of those controls. I think that's where it threw me off. And yeah. the location, if you weren't exactly on it, it didn't adjust you. There was precision to it. It was kind of a sloppy precision, but it wasn't problematic. I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely give the game a minus for its the mechanics of the game. Is that sometimes those mechanics kind of felt clunky and they were like you said, Mike, they were very inconsistent. There were times where I was trying to either hit that TV or hit those elevator buttons with anything, and it was so frustrating because I would run and then try to throw it, and then I just wouldn't be in the right spot, and then Six would just toss it off to the side, and I'd be like, come on, just let me do the thing I'm trying to do.
Did you guys know the longer you hold the throw button, the harder and farther she would throw it?
Kinda, but there was also
because I never had, once I figured that out, I had no problems throwing things. It was it was at that point, it was more that whole what distance do I need to stand away for? But otherwise, I didn't have to run and jump or throw. It was just okay, hold this, walk up to the elevator. Am I far enough away? Hold the throw button and then bam, it was good to go.
Yeah. But the problem I had though, is that if you were too close, it wouldn't work. If you were too far, it wouldn't work. You had to be in a sweet spot for it to actually go towards the elevator button.
Yeah.
So yeah, that ended up frustrating me a couple of times, and then pushing boxes and things like that around was really frustrating because it just did not want to go in the direction that I would push it. And then when you pushed it, even if I was holding because I played it on PC, if I was just holding D and left click to hang on to the thing, it would rotate part of it, and then I would start pushing it a different direction. And I was like, just come on. I know this is in 2D, more or less 2D.
Yeah.
Just go the direction I want it to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's That's probably my biggest complaint about the game is the controls. And there's not a lot of actions that you do. And they're not terribly hard. But yeah, they were, as you put it, clunky. Like, honestly, my biggest frustration was the jumping sometimes. And I think this kind of goes in line with you, Mike, kind of trying to walk across like pipes and bookshelves. Is like there was just sometimes where like I remember in, I think it was the first area, it's where you had to like climb up a bunch of cages, you hit a button and it brings up a bunch of boxes, and then you have to time it where you start it moving left and then you go jump on it. And it was, I failed that like twice because I thought I was aimed up straight at it, but no, it was, I was too far right or left. And and that was probably the only time it gave me a lot of trouble, but there was a couple other times where I'm just like, I think I'm going straight, or I think I'm running in the right direction to make this jump, and I, oh no, I'm off, right? You know, so some of that I think was just kind of perspective, or I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. Like maybe there just wasn't a good, like a lot of games will put like a shadow under your character so you can kind of.
It was really the world dark. Where you're at. Yeah. So trying to get that shadow was. I only usually noticed that on like pipes because there'd be light, like a light above the pipe and you could just follow the light. But even then, sometimes I fell off. I don't know how many times, like in a chase scene when you're running away and you've got that little hold you've got to get under before they catch you and that's the end of their sequence with you. I don't know how many times I ran into just barely the edge of the wall.
Yeah.
And then my guy just dead stops and I'm like, no, get in the, oh.
Yeah. That happened to me a few times too.
I think I'd be a little bit more forgiving on the kind of clunky controls. Honestly, I think the biggest issue that this game has is, I don't know if these are two separate issues, I'm going to just call it one, is checkpoints and loading, right? I did get really frustrated, especially since it took me like two or three times with that silly little box part in the first area. Like, that's not like hours of gameplay to get to that, but the checkpoint is back before that. So I had to run back out, climb up everything, trigger. Like I did to do that like three times and having to wait there for the game. Okay, I'm dead. I get it. Put me right back in the action, right? Even if it is right back there, it was like, okay, again, coming from, you know, what, 20 years ago, loading times compared to games 20 years ago now isn't bad, but it's like I want to iterate faster. Just throw me right back in the action, even if it is this checkpoint way back here. I wouldn't necessarily say the placements of the checkpoint was bad, but the mixture of the slow loading and then what really annoyed me, and I get it, it's all about the game and probably pull you in immersion and stuff, but the whole like Six would always kind of have that like 5 seconds where she's just kind of, after you died, like she's crumpled up in a ball and then she kind of gets up before you can control her. And I'm like, all of that mixed together that like, I'm like, no, I just want to get right back in the action. Right. I don't need this 10 seconds of waiting for it to load and then for her to stand up so I can start controlling her again.
Right. Like, your just, load times were your load time is only 10 seconds.
It was not, again, I'm playing on the X. I can't complain. It's not bad, but it's enough where it's like, again, all of that mixed together, especially in that scenario I described there with having to climb back up and all that. I was like, this is not good. Just throw me right back in there. Right. Let me. And I think then I'd be a little bit more forgiving, but yeah, like when I would go to run, run away from something, I go to slide through it and I get caught in the corner of the wall and die. I'm like, okay, not a big deal. I'll run and do it again. But since it's okay, well, I'm way back here and I got to wait 10 seconds for it. I'm guessing, would you play it on the Switch? Or?
So I played on the Switch, and maybe I just got to get better at video games, but I died a bunch. And it was all those little quirky, like, oh, well, I should have jumped, and my guy just didn't. He ran into the wall. You know, little pieces like that that end up killing me. But I think I spent as much time on loading screens as I did to complete the game. I'm not kidding. It was like a minute and a half in between each death of sit there, wait, like I could get up and go get like a bag of chips and come back and it's like just finished loading. Like it was astronomically bad.
That's interesting. Yeah, because that, I mean, I have to imagine that must be like a console thing, because I was playing
it's not even a demanding game.
No, it's not. But I mean, I was playing it through Steam, and for me, every time I died, it was like instant. I don't even recall there being a loading screen. It was like I would die, and then Six would wake up, like wherever my last checkpoint was.
Yeah, there and was yeah, like a
God forbid
like a black screen. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. God forbid that you end up having to like if you miss a checkpoint because you have to light it with your lighter. Which is funny because it's like one of the few uses that you actually have for the lighter. Like, you don't actually use the lighter for anything other than marking your checkpoints. And then the couple of places where it's too... And then, yeah, like a couple places where it's just too dark to see anything. But for the most part, I didn't really use it. I think the game was pretty well lit because the last couple of levels, I mean, the kitchen was like fully lit.
Yeah.
The guest hall was fully lit. And then the ladies' room was, I think, fine. Like that.
Yeah, up until the boss fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I guess you heard it here, folks. PC Master Race for the win. So got to play on PC.
Yep, that's the way to do it. Yes. Game Pass or Steam.
It sounds like the Xbox is better, but the Switch version was just...
I
almost stopped playing the game and switched to the Xbox because of how bad it was.
Yeah. Yeah, again, in the grand scheme of things and how far technology has come, it was fast loading. But again, it's like, I just want to... Again, I want to iterate faster on this. Okay, I made a mistake. Your controls are a little... but I think that's a big reason why I kind of complain about the controls is just that, you know, them along with the loading and the checkpoint system is just like, okay, like tag teaming this together, just kind of not a great experience.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the controls definitely were clunky.
Yeah. But, yeah. So it sounds like we all didn't really understand the story too much. We all kind of had similar experiences with the controls. I guess.
And we all thought the game was really pretty. Like, just,
I mean, it was.
Just to see, like, environment wise, I think it got better the further. Like, the kitchen was okay. It looked cool. But as soon as you got into, like, the upper floors of, like, the dining hall and, like, the mansion looking area, the house where the lady is waiting in her room, that all looked super well done.
So I thought one of the best shots in the game, and this was like getting into like really good cinematography territory, is when you exit outside of the boat briefly and you climb out of a pipe and you're climbing up like a chain or something like that. And then it like the camera slowly pans out and you see like how absolutely massive this boat is. And you can see all of the passengers in the background. Like you can see their silhouettes from the sun as they're boarding the boat or whatever. And I'm like, this is actually just beautiful. Like this is such a cool shot in general. I think that really helps sell me on like the look and feel of the game. I just thought it was amazing. And like I said, I really liked just like the dingy darkness of like being in a boat, even if I don't really understand why I'm in that boat in the first place.
I think that's where I struggled a little bit too with it. Like I enjoyed my time with it, you know, all the little, but like, since I do enjoy story and there was not like, I like knowing what goes on, right? What's the purpose of this?
Let me frame it a little bit differently. You're playing as Six, right? You are this little kid who wakes up in basically hell, right? Like you're like, oh my god. I think that lends to the same lens that Six would see this from, right? Like, I woke up in a strange area. I don't understand anything that's going on. All I know is I need to keep moving. I need to get out. And then you start seeing some more stuff. You know, for the first time, you're seeing the blind thing chasing after you. That's probably the first time Six is really seeing what's going on. And then the same thing with like the cooking area. You're like, oh no, how do I get through this? Like, if you're really playing it through the eyes of somebody who was potentially kidnapped, dumped into a cell, or, you know, however, if they're aliens and they took her, whatever this background is, you're going through it for the first time, just like Six. Like there's no background for you yet until you get through it. So maybe there's more to it with like the kid or like with number two, like maybe there's more story. Maybe you get more information as to what's happening and all that jazz.
Yeah, that's true. Though the weird thing about that though, is that they really never put into perspective why Six starts becoming more and more murdery. You know, like when you're offered the sausage, what was really going through Six's mind when she decided to reject the sausage and then eat the gnome instead. And then at the end of the game, when you basically kill the lady by, you know, mangling her neck and eating her neck, she ends up going on like that murderous rampage of all the people that are all the guests that are on the boat, right? Mm-hmm. She's walking through that final hallway and this, like, you know, black magic or something like that is just going and killing all of the guests on board the boat. Like, you never really get you never really understand what, like, where did this come from? Or I guess, like, yeah, maybe it's just like we jump to a conclusion because we think, oh yeah, Six is probably a nice person, but they're caught in a bad situation, or they truly are a little nightmare. Like, they're just a demon spawn that's, you know, kidnapped and being feasted upon or something like that.
Yeah. I think the lesson to be learned here is if you get kidnapped, when you wake up, you start eating people and you'll gain powers. So
it's a good idea.
There's good idea. A episode of Beavis and Butthead that's like recent. It was with Skrillex. And at some point, like, this dude is following a child and the child turns around and unleashes all this magic on him. And your comment about the black magic around her just made me think of that, because Butthead's like, and that's why you don't send your kids to Hogwarts. Like, they just become murderous. Murderous magic users. But it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's slowly, like, if then she's going to become the next lady. If you think about, maybe, like, she absorbed the magical powers from eating her, because she was able to, like, levitate you with just her hand and that light. So I wonder if it's like a, you eat the young to keep them from becoming powerful and
taking over.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, what I assumed was that, yeah, that Six got the powers by killing the lady.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe it's another situation like, what was it, the Grupps from Star Trek? Kids taking over?
Oh, sure.
I think it was the Grupps, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
But in this case, instead of going crazy by some disease, the adults eat the kids instead. I like it.
Right. Or at least so we know. I mean, these could be different beings altogether, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Six could be a normal-sized kid. Or a normal-sized person, and then everybody else is just way oversized.
Yeah.
Yeah, the size difference was huge, right? Like, at least between the blob people versus Six, like...
Yeah, you were, like, you the were size of most of their to, shoes.
Yeah, you could fit in their mouth. You're like a candy bar, basically, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, I would say overall, like, the story is a little... hard to understand and open to a lot of interpretation. I mean, this is another game. The only other game that we've played that's kind of similar to this is Journey, where they didn't use any dialogue whatsoever. No text or voice. There's no dialogue throughout the entire game. Everything is all kind of just grunts and sounds and physical actions and slurping. Yes. Sloshing of eating meat sounds. But I think that what Journey... I feel like Journey did a better job of outlining their narrative than this game did. But I also have to imagine it's really hard to tell a very coherent story in the span of 3 hours with no dialogue and, you know, no inner thoughts or anything like that. Like, you don't really know what the character's thinking until after their actions take place. Like, oh, yeah, they're hungry. Okay, so they got to eat.
Yeah, I feel like with Journey, they were able to show you, like, with the glyphs and things like that on the rocks, like, this is what had happened. And you knew that people had gone before you. You saw other travelers, all of those things, you know, and you saw, like, from the beginning, there's that light off in the distance, right? You're headed towards that light. You know that you are making your way towards a goal. With this one, I feel like it kind of had the same vibe, just less of the interpretation, like the glyphs and things like that. Because in the same sense, you just woke up and you know you have to go somewhere. You just don't know where you're going yet until you start to see all the freakish crap happening. And then it's like, I need to get out might be your answer. Because at the end, if you followed I don't remember if it was after the credits or right before the credits, but there was like a scene of Six going outside and looking around. It looked like you were on an island. I don't know if that was. So, I mean, I think
that was the boat. That was one thing. Because the boat is what they call it here, the maw. But it was like, it's really weird. You kind of see a little bit in that shot that Rich was talking about where it zooms out.
Yeah.
I don't know how the boat works, but it almost looks like it kind of raises up, and that's where the people would come in. And then at the end scene in the credits there, it must sink back down enough to where it's just that island with that weird like smokestack or tower coming out from it.
Sure.
I don't know. So I think it's this weird like boat submarine. I forget where I saw that picture of it.
Right. But that's what's the weird thing too, is that like, you know, Six more or less had the opportunity to, I guess, escape. I mean, you have to probably have dove into the water or something like that, but your escape was there. You were outside. But yeah, Six deliberately decides to go back through to, I guess, kill the lady. I think that was always probably always the intention, but we never knew that from the beginning, right? We saw pictures of like paintings and things like that of the lady throughout the, you know, segments of the game, but we never
there
really
There were little statues
knew.
Throughout the entire game that were geishas that you could break too.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd see and like a little trail of that magic it. Come off.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys ever capture any of the gnomes outside of the time in the scene where you ate it?
Yeah.
I hugged a gnome.
You could give them.
Yeah, you hug them. Hugs. Yep. And then at the very end of the game, they wave goodbye to you while you're walking up the stairs after going on your killing spree. They're like, yay, goodbye. Glad you ate one of ours.
Yeah.
Get out.
That was Frank. He was an asshole.
Yeah.
They're all just right, excited so. That you took out Frank.
Yep, they're just like, yeah, thank God. That guy was the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then the one thing that I know that they never really explained was, like, the black slugs.
Oh,
yeah. You encounter them, like, twice throughout the entire game, mm-hmm. I think. They kill you if they touch you, but...
Yeah.
That's it. It was just, like... I guess some random enemy that they just put into the game, but it, as far as we know, didn't really have much of a purpose other than being a sludge.
They were annoying, I'll tell you that much. I don't know how many times I died just like navigating, trying to walk around them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started jumping a lot because it seemed like just, again, kind of go back to the wonky controls. There's times where I thought I'd cut between two of them perfectly, but apparently I didn't. And then I'd get grabbed by the foot and lights out usually literally because most times you encountered them I had my lighter out because it was usually darker but
yeah oh and that was the other thing the other mechanic that I didn't really understand why it never resurfaced but at the very
the
beginning
lighter, yeah.
of well no at the very beginning of the game there's those eyeballs that are like a spotlight and if you get trapped in the spotlight it turns you to like stone
yeah
so it's like that never ends up coming back up in the game ever again. Like you get past like, I think that first like two segments and then it never shows up again. Even though you're standing in the middle of a light at the very end of the game, like my thought was, it's like, oh, like I'm not allowed to be in like bright lights or something like that. Or these guys have a special kind of light to them that will, I guess, turn me to stone or turn you to a rock or something like mm-hmm. that for whatever reason. I mean, it's kind of a neat little trick or a neat little like, you know, a neat little feature, but yeah, you, like they never really utilized that.
It was kind of like them and the slugs level. never showed up again after the.
Yeah, it's really
first
weird.
Level or two,
and they have no real, as far as I could tell. I mean, you see those eyes used throughout every single level, mm-hmm. like the drawing of that eye is everywhere, but it really never factors into anything. I don't know.
I think it had something to do with the lady because she had that same light that would come off of her. In occasion, like if you did a chase scene, if you stopped and she caught you, she'd lift you with a light. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it had something to do with her in general because you'd see in the house part, like the manor part, that they had more of those little eyes in the wall. They just weren't open. So maybe that's, you know, her being an overseer or something. I don't know, but in a lot of game design, they give you like a small tutorial of the thing that you're going to face, right? And then it pops up later multiple times in the game. With this one, it kind of felt like every level was its own challenge, and it was mostly that challenge through that level, I felt. Because I feel like with the first one, it was a lot of sneaking, the slugs, and the lights. And then you got into like the kitchen, and it was a lot of sneaking, lots of balance. And then beyond that, it was mostly chasing or hiding and some light puzzle work. I just feel like they condensed it. Like each level was its own little, here's, you're going to learn about this, and then you're going to have to use it through the rest of the level, and then probably not again.
Yeah, I suppose so. Because, yeah, like I didn't really, I was kind of expecting it like you were first describing it, like it was teeing up for, oh yeah, you need to kind of dodge these sort of spotlights so you have like a pseudo stealth mechanic that it's kind of preparing you for.
Right.
But you never really use that throughout the rest of the game. It's really only isolated to that box, or at least even shorter. It's only isolated up until the point where you start getting chased by the dude with the arms. And then once you kind of encounter him, it's more or less not even so much stealth. It's dodging like the creaky boards and things like that, where you're climbing through the library and you have to like dodge all of the like the jars and stuff like that. And if you knock a jar off and it breaks, he like, you know, goes crazy and he starts getting his hands all up in the shelves and tries to grab you and all that. Yeah, that was kind of, it was interesting. Yeah, never really. And yeah, the slugs never really showed up again, even though they were just kind of there.
Yeah. It was odd.
Yeah, it was odd.
I'm happy the slugs never came back.
Yeah, I didn't like
I agree. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan. So, I mean, it sounds like overall we're kind of in agreement here that, like, the art direction, pretty good.
Yeah.
Definitely sold itself. I think that's probably where they put the most amount of work, too.
Yep.
The mechanics overall, just kind of going back through some of the stuff that we were talking about here, is like the mechanics overall weren't great because there were a lot of frustrating moments with, you know, yeah, like what Mike said with the sliding into walls accidentally because you still have that sort of Z axis that you're playing on too.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gets in the way. And things like, yeah, pushing boxes and cages and things like that around and kind of having a bad sense of depth, you know, if you're trying to jump backwards or something like that, or like forwards or backwards, it kind of is really, really hard to gauge how far forward or back you are.
Yeah.
And the story didn't really seem to make sense.
Yeah.
That's not about right? No, didn't really make sense. And then I was really surprised because it was, I remember after the game was over, and I think I made this comment in Discord while we were right after I finished it, as I was waiting for like, you know, sort of that like teaser ending. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting through all the credits and I was like, God damn, there are a lot of people that worked on this game and they only cranked out a 3-hour kind of okay mechanically game with like a hardly told story. I was like, damn, there is a lot of people that worked on this. I'm surprised that this is really all that they came up with.
Yeah, I had the same feeling, especially since, like, to me, I guess if there is a story or some crazier story there somewhere, maybe that it just didn't fit. But only having 5 levels with that size of a team, and, you know, I don't know what their design pipeline was like over there. Maybe it was awful or something, but like, seems like you could have pumped out a few more levels, right, with that size of a team. But
or made the existing ones even longer. Like, I was kind of going into this expecting these, like, I didn't know how many levels there were, but I was expecting that these levels would have been a lot longer than they were. Mm-hmm. Like, even that first level, I railed through that so fast. That was like 20 minutes and I was like, that was like, and I saw my achievement pop up on Steam that I beat the first level and I was like, that was really short.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the rest of the game felt, was just really short. Really short, even though like some of the puzzles were really cool. Like, I did like the puzzle. I did like some of the puzzles. I did like some of like the, you know, the more tense stuff, like trying to sneak around a lot of the chefs and the long armed dude or whatever. Like, that was fun. And like, when you got caught, it wasn't just game over. You could scramble and try and like find a new hiding spot or climb up on something or whatever. And so it was really fun getting out of bad situations because I had the tools to do so. So I will commend the game for that. But overall,
it was enjoyable.
It was rough. It was definitely enjoyable. Yeah.
My review is I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. Right? Like it was just.
It was
fine playing through, you know, and since it didn't, I'm kind of in the middle of the road here is, so it's probably good for me. It was only 3 hours, you know, or whatever it took for me to beat it because it's good enough for me. So
yeah, that's true.
Is it enough to make you want to buy the next one or play the next one?
Kinda.
If it's
for
on
me, yes,
Game Pass.
Okay. Yeah, it should be on Steam sale right now. Steam sale's going on right this minute. Could probably pick it up there.
I don't know if I enjoyed the first one enough that would have me go out and spend money on the second one.
Spend actual money on it. That's fair. I'm curious enough because I did enjoy the game to a point where if it's on like a sale or on Game Pass or something, I would totally play the sequel.
Yeah. I think I would play the sequel if it was on Game Pass, yeah.
Yeah.
Like for a book club.
Yeah, even more so if it was for another book club, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Well, maybe that will be our October game.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else that you guys have about the game? I mean, it was
pretty short. Ninja Turtles and go straight into the next one.
Right into Little Nightmares 2.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I'd rather talk about
this. Turtles. Dude, I am so excited about Turtles. Okay, so like, yeah, we can wrap this up here. So, thank you very much for tuning in. You heard it here at the beginning of the episode. Our next the July book club will be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shredder's Revenge. It is a co-op, you know, old style arcade beat 'em up game up to 6 players. We're very, very excited to play that. I hope some of us play it together. It'll be pretty cool to get that perspective. Maybe we can get some more people on the pod too.
Yeah, hop into our Discord. I mean, there's room for 6, and it's on Game Pass. So
and it's on Game Pass,
PC and Xbox Game Pass with crossplay between both. I don't think crossplay is there for PlayStation and Switch though. So if you want to play with us, it has to be PC or Xbox.
Unless you want to go play with Mike.
Yeah.
No. This is an Xbox game for me as well.
Ooh, all right. So we're going to have him on board too.
I'm going to probably play through it 3 times. Like I've already gotten through it once. So
nice.
We'll see.
All right. Well, I look forward to what you have to say about it on the next book club.
You should bring your player too and play along with us. We'll need somebody to party on you, right? Party dude.
So quick hot take. My son is amazing at a lot of games that he plays for being 7. But I have never been more frustrated than playing this beat 'em up with him. Because there's we'll talk about it in the July book club, but it's oh man, did he push my buttons.
Good time.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to try and see if we can push Mike's buttons too. Thank you all for joining us on this podcast. Thank you, Mike. We love having you back. I'm glad that you could join us for this book club.
Yeah. Thanks. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, be sure to go onto our Discord. You can find the link to that at our website, campfiregamingpodcast.com. You'll also find links to our socials. Matt always posts and retweets funny things on our Twitter. So be sure to follow our Twitter at campgamepod. And we will thank you for listening. Oh, and be sure, you know, if you're coming from YouTube, we do have YouTube. That's right. If you're coming from YouTube, be sure to hit the subscribe button and throw us a like. It does help us for the algorithms, help us get our podcast out to more people, and we would very much appreciate that. So, with that said, thank you for tuning into the book club. If you participated, or if you're just joining us for the first time, be sure to participate with us next month. And we'll see you guys next time around the campfire.